The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to WeAreTechnology.com's User-Friendly 2.0 with host Bill Sickens, Technology Architect.
And this is User-Friendly 2.0. I'm your host, Bill Sickens. Jeremy and Gretchen, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello there.
So we're going to be doing a little bit of a throwback to some things we used to do in the past that's been asked for this week, and just have a candid conversation going over some topics of tech and that type of thing. Bill Snodgrass is going to be joining us in the next segment. We're going to be talking about a variety of different things, gaming computers, Windows 11, and other stuff like that. So going to be an interesting show for you this week. We're also going to be looking at our upcoming events in the end. And on all of that, and with no further ado, let's go to the news. So what is in the news?
Jury finds in favor of Depp in libel suit.
Yeah, from the pop culture front, this has been an interesting thing. For anybody that hasn't really been following this, there's been a lawsuit between Johnny Depp and his wife, each claiming things going the other way. The court found in his favor. I believe the amount awarded to him was $15 million. And then they also found in her favor for a libel complaint on the attorney for $2 million. So I know he was hoping that this would put him back kind of in the limelight and restore his reputation a little bit. However, it seems to have just put a bad divorce in the limelight, such as it is.
So, he lost two major parts from all of this.
It's been a big deal. And I know there's a lot more going on here than probably what's even being reported. But it's one of those things that's just, you know, it is what it is, I suppose.
Portland, Oregon lost $1.4 million in a cybersecurity breach.
Yeah, and boy, is it hard to try to find out about this. But what I've been able to find out is that apparently this was done through some sort of a spam or phishing email.
Nice.
They got in, some information got out, a bill was sent or something, and it was paid for this amount. And so they're saying that they're going to button down their cybersecurity and make sure that this never happens again, whatever that may mean.
So is this the city of Portland?
The city of Portland, Oregon, yeah. And the details from this, are the minimum that we have, is they call it a fraudulent financial transaction. It occurred in May, and then there was another attempt made on May 17th, which I think is when they stopped that and found out about the first one.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's... Basically, that's all that they've said. In a statement from the city, at the city of Portland, we have invested in technology and established policies to minimize that threat. Unfortunately, it seems like they might need more policies.
Do you want a Tesla phone?
After finding out a little bit about this, yeah.
Really? Why? Tell me.
I cannot confirm or deny if I've been able to see a prototype, but what I can talk about is that this sounds very interesting. Now, let's start out at the top of this. There has been a rumor, should start there, of the idea of a Tesla phone for a while now. It's been talked about, but it seems like it's becoming, you know, something that's more solid. They're talking about a December release date of this year. We'll see if that actually happens. One thing about Tesla is it does seem like release dates and the actual dates things come available can vary. Although usually when they come available, they're interesting technology. Now, what's kind of cool about this is that it goes beyond what you would consider on an actual smartphone. So, you know, Tesla and a lot of their things has what's sometimes referred to as over-the-top features on their existing products and other things. A Cybertruck has an impenetrable exoskeleton and bioweapon defense mode. that's not something that I found at Nissan.
Really?
You know, so taking this a step further. All right. Some of what they have is it'll have Starlink built in. So your internet will work that way. You don't need anything else. Obviously does 5G as well. Solar charging. So Tesla product like that is going to have that would, be expected. Vehicle control. So if you have a Tesla vehicle, you can control it from your own, from your phone rather. And now some of the other things that are interesting that are going to be built into this, or at least that they're talking about, is astrophotography. What this is it uses an AI when photographing the night sky. And with SpaceX's technology working into this and them working together, it's really going to enhance, let's just say, what you can take pictures of in the sky.
Cool.
Sounds neat.
So it has a crypto mining mode, so the phone will mine cryptocurrency if you're into that.
Okay. Look, my phone is rich.
Yes, yes. Oh, now it's poor. And we'll see where this actually goes. Now, one of the other features that I could see where I might like is some support for Neuralink. So anybody that's not familiar with this, Neuralink is a technology that Elon Musk is working on to allow for implants, basically makes you a cyborg, and then would allow you to directly interface with your phone. And when we talked about this before, you know, we've gotten a lot of different responses to that. And I can honestly say, I don't think I'd have a problem with this. So as long as I knew what it did and what it was about, it could be really cool. But having that built into your cell phone from the bottom up is, you know, kind of interesting. So the phone's called the Tesla Pi, P-I. And again, a release date that they're suggesting at the end of the year. Now, it's all over the map on what this might cost. And with Tesla, you never know. They're talking anywhere from $1,200 to $3,000. Now, the high end of that would make it the most expensive smartphone on the market. But depending on what it can and can't do, you know, maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not. So anyway, we'll have to see where this ends up. We'll go ahead and post a picture of the prototype, or at least what's alleged to be the prototype, on our social media so you can check it out.
Cool.
How about a smartphone on your eye?
Yeah, so we take this a step further. You know, why do we even need the phone? Now, we've had augmented reality glasses and like Google Glass and all that kind of stuff to limited success. There's some newer technologies out there that work a lot better. But this is the idea of having the entire capability of your smartphone built into a contact lens.
Oh, my goodness.
And, so that would be your virtual screen. It would be projected in front of you?
Yeah, basically.
Sounds like fun.
And, they say it's a custom fit for your eyes, so it's extremely comfortable to wear. It doesn't rotate or slip.
Huh.
And the proof of concept that they apparently have working now is green screens, like monochrome, but they are talking about a full color version.
So are they hard to clean or are they easy to care for?
I don't know. And these kind of details aren't out there quite yet.
Because as a contact lens user, you know, that would be important to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think that would be important to just keeping the device working, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, Mojo Vision is the company that's putting this out. And Mojo Lens is the name of the product. And if this is something that actually works and works well, that could be very interesting.
AI-engineered enzyme eats entire plastic containers.
So they let the AIs get together and try to come up with something to deal with plastic. And they've come up with a plastic-degrading enzyme that, by design, it was designed by AIs, and what it can do is absorb and break down plastic. I'm trying to think what the best way is to describe this. A lot faster than anything else. It takes about an hour as opposed to several hours, and then the temperatures that it can run at is different and all kinds of other things. So within 48 hours, you can have a plastic container that is completely broken down. And we have a lot of problems with plastics. They're everywhere, the waste from this. It's in the ocean. And most of the plastics that have been manufactured since they started making plastics still exist. So unless they were burned or recycled properly, which maybe is 10%, the rest of this is still out there in dumps in the ocean and other places. So dealing with this, if this actually works, and it looks like it does, could really, really help with that.
Cool.
France bans English gaming tech jargon and push to preserve language purity.
Okay, first of all, this is not a new thing for the French.
No.
Okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're a language person, so I was going to ask you to comment on that. And I know they're having trouble. And French, like you say, has been like that. They don't want to bring in words from other languages, so they essentially just make up one, I guess?
Yeah, and they, if I understood, and it hasn't changed, if, that they would have like a committee that would decide on what words would be added to the language. This is the reason why French is not used as the language of science.
Right.
Because English is extremely flexible. That's why English is the language of science and technology.
So some of the words that they're having problems with are things like esports and cloud gaming. Well, on that note, this is User Friendly 2.0. We're going to take a break and we'll be back. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. I'm coming back at you with a little bit of a whine, but I think it's less than it was a week ago. And that's dealing with computers and when they don't work, specifically gaming computers. On with us now, in addition to Jeremy and Gretchen, Bill Snodgrass. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hello.
So you are kind of our resident expert on this, and I know that you've worked with Alienware and other high-end gaming computers in the past, and have had different things. So let's start there. What do you use now, and do you like it?
I built one myself. my old Alienware that I had for a little over a decade finally just flat stopped working on me, middle of COVID. So that was a fun experience trying to scrounge parts together there in the early parts 2020. I use an MSI motherboard. I was able to get a 2080 Ti special edition video card. I run liquid cooling. I got 32 gigs of RAM. Probably should have bought a different case, but this one was one of the nicer ones, but it's got its problems, which is the thermal take. Solid state drives, all that. That's the usual. As far as my experience with gaming computers, though, this one, you know, is solid. You know, I can run Cyberpunk in that at full capacity. That's what it was built to be able to do, is to last me for another, you know, 5 to 10 years. Building it together, building it wise, was probably only about $3,500.
Okay. So about $3,500. And that, you know, that's within the price set. Now, I know, you know, I'd done the same thing. I've used Dell and decided to go with an Alienware desktop. I've used them for the laptops for a while, and I've had good luck. And the desktop I got was an R11, and it has been a bit of a bummer. I don't know how else to put it. It's not what you would have expected, but it got up and running. And about 4 months ago, now I think it was, I decided to upgrade the memory in it, and it worked for about a week, and then just stopped. And before it stopped, it would start doing things like it would take forever to boot up, or it would do something weird. But it would finally work, and then after that, it would quit working altogether. So I have a warranty on it where they come out the next day, because in addition to a gaming machine, this is also my work machine, which I needed something for that. I do some video editing and other things and wanted a good one. So the technician comes out, and he looks at it, and he goes, well, we're going to have to replace the motherboard and do this and do that. And okay, fine, we'll get the parts in. Then he comes back 3 days later, messes around with it for about 2 hours, finally gets it going again, says, well, what it is on this model, there's a fundamental flaw with the design. And if you run it the way that it was originally built, they will work forever like you would expect from that type of a machine. However, if you change anything, I upgraded the memory, it will have all of these problems. And it's just not designed to be changed. So when I bought it 3 years ago, it had 16 gig of RAM in it, which at the time was good, but I needed more for video editing. So that was the case. However, he did get it going again with the upgraded memory. Now it's 64 gigs. So run ahead 2 months, and they send out a BIOS update, a pretty important one they said to install. I run the BIOS update, just completely kills the machine again. Absolutely does nothing. So after the previous experience, what I called for the warranty and everything again, now we can't get the parts because of supply chain issues. So I put it back to its original memory, and it started working again. So again, definitely part of the flaw. And then
BIOS what hosed my laptop?
Yeah. It seems like Dell's been having some issues with that, and it's interesting. So finally, Dell, now they did take care of me, I have to say, and kudos to this. Well, we can't get the parts. It's not going to be fixable. So what we're going to do is just send you a new unit. So the new unit they sent me is an R13, which is two generations newer. And I got it in yesterday, set it up last night. I'm just getting on it right now. And I do have to say I'm back to like an Alienware again, at least so far. It seems to work the way it is. Now, the one thing, Bill, like you say, that's very interesting on this is they've completely changed the case. It's much wider, probably about 3 inches wider than the R11. And the cooling system in it is about the size of the radiator in my car. Maybe not really, but it feels like it.
Wow.
It's got two pumps, so it's got a primary and a backup, and all of this other stuff. So it's built like a tank, I gotta say.
Yeah. My experience with Alienware is I had one of the last models of laptops they built before they became part of Dell.
Right.
So while I had a solid heavy machine, and I mean heavy, as in I went and bought an HP just because I couldn't pack the Alienware around all the time. It lasted. It was built solid. It had its cooling system. It was hard to upgrade like that. But the main problem there is they didn't set things up correctly. So it had two video cards, those days.
Right.
It took me, I didn't ever realize it, but I always had problems with the video card system with certain games, DirectX and stuff like that. And so I had to literally download a script that someone had made that kept it from doing a certain thing within its the software so that I could run those games and then get it to actually use both of the video cards to run them. And it stayed alive for 10 years, but I'm not sure, it was never like the best
right.
that it could have been.
I'm still having weird problems with my Dell laptop. The one of my ports still won't work. And when I do the updates, I'm scared to death it's going to hose my machine.
In fact, we've been running updates here in the studio, which is 600 miles from where you are normally, just to, make sure it works. And I know that's been an issue too. And it seems like they take care of you, but I don't know if maybe there was a generation in there that was bad, because your Dell, it's not an Alienware, but it is the highest end Dell laptop. It's a commercial grade and all that kind of stuff. And I know you've had port problems and all kinds of things like that. And it does seem like that's an issue. Now, I do have to say on my new Alienware laptop that I just got and now on this replacement machine here, it does seem like they are back to, again, what you would expect. The laptop is, I've used it for about 6 months now and it's been great. Now, the other thing that I found interesting here is when I talked to the people at Dell and they were swapping it out, the biggest marketing point on this new computer was that it had a clear side, the guts of it light up, and you can see inside, which is kind of cool. But I'm suspecting that's not your primary idea. Are you okay there?
That's a selling feature. It lights up. Okay, good.
It lights up, and it is cool. I mean, it's very pretty, but I'm suspecting that's not the primary thing to look at on a gaming machine. I would think more memory and CPU. If someone was buying one today, Bill, what would you recommend for specs?
Oh, I mean, that's a very broad question. I honestly, if I was buying a specific gaming system, I would actually think about going for a Steam Deck.
Okay.
As a pre-built.
Okay.
They're proving to be very stable, very hardcore. And Steam's using its own proprietary OS, so you're getting away from Windows and some of the issues that Windows have been having. And I don't know about you, but Windows 11 has been a bit of a nightmare. Granted, I don't know if it was operator error, but I had somebody who bought an exotic PC, Asus, made one. And it has just constantly had the weirdest problems, like the onboard Wi-Fi will connect, but it won't actually connect.
Hey, Bill, I'm gonna have to cut you here. We're out of time, but we'll come back after the segment and talk some more about Windows 11. We'll be right back. Wow. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. Send us your questions and your comments. One User Friendly on Facebook and Twitter, userfriendlyshow.com. We love to hear from you. That's how we do our programming, answer your questions, and get content out there. We are talking gaming computers, Windows 11, and some other things. Now, Windows 11, not one of the top swear words on George Carlin's list, but I think here it's getting pretty close.
Yep.
And I know I upgraded to this when it first came out and practically needed a psychiatrist. We're not sure if it was because I upgraded or after I upgraded, but it seemed to definitely have something to do with that. I do have to say it's gotten better, and it was not as bad to begin with as like Windows 8 or Vista.
Mentioning Vista and 8. Oh, 8. 8. Yeah.
Nope. I skipped 8. But Vista,
I didn't have a choice. My computer died, and I was forced to have 8.
And that was where it came from. Now, Bill, you were talking about that there might be an issue with gamers and Windows. Tell us more.
Well, a lot of it is, you know, the weird back end stuff. But like I said, I knew somebody who got an exotic PC that it's an Asus build. One of their tough series, I believe. And after he updated to Windows 11, he had problems like the onboard Wi-Fi wouldn't connect, or it would say it was connecting, and it would show that it would connect, and it would just disconnect. It was constantly doing that, so he had to buy like an external antenna, and even that's kind of half working.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
There was a weird thing where never really quite figured it out, but like you can't shut the system down. It just restarts.
Okay.
Yeah, it is the most ridiculous things. And, you know, I've looked for every workaround and everything. And some were like, oh, it's this piece of software from Intel, or it's this. And I've never been able to really completely track it down. But even its onboard BIOS for like the color controls and stuff like that for the screen and the monitor were having issues. And those were, you know, the fact, you know, from the company, from Asus, to make the system work. And it was like, no, we had to uninstall this just so the system would work and not just constantly have this little like pop up in the middle of the screen every 20 seconds.
You know, and I was going to ask you that question. Was this one of the machines that passed Microsoft's magic you can upgrade test?
Yes.
So it was an upgradable machine and it still had all these problems.
The weird part about that, and you know, I'm going to go off of some things that I've watched and listened to and looked into. I'm really actually very troubled by the new move with all this requirement because of its requirement for the trusted protection module or trusted system, whatever the TMP.
TMP, yeah, trusted memory.
Yeah, which is the most ridiculous thing on a system. And then the BitLocker encryption, which is good and bad if you know how to get your own encryption keys out of it so that you can pull your data if something happens to your installation. But it's almost like Microsoft is basically in control of yours. So like if in some cases people were looking at it and going, you know, if you lose your Microsoft account for whatever reason, you basically lose all the information on your computer.
Right, yeah, and, if you can't log in.
Yeah, and I'm an avid don't use the OneDrive. It's constantly going, oh, I want to put it on the OneDrive. No, I don't want anything on the OneDrive. And it's like Windows like wants to insist, oh, you got to put it on the OneDrive. No, it even tries to trick you to putting things on the OneDrive. I don't know what's wrong with them.
That happened to our other producer. She went to save something, and then it was like took us an hour to find it because it had put it on the OneDrive without anyone noticing.
Wow, yeah,
those type of things. And you know, it's a cloud drive, so it's you're losing security a little bit from your own storage if you don't know that that's what's going on. I know when I reloaded and got this thing going last night, I changed my browser to Chrome, and I just about had to go through an interrogation to be allowed to do it.
yeah,
that was.
How dare you not use Edge? We built this specifically for you.
And it's great, and it's this. Well, Edge does not do Google Chrome apps very well. They'll work, but not the way they're supposed to. So it's like, yeah, I do need to switch over because we're dealing with that. And, you know, Google having control over everything is another whole topic that we could talk about later as well.
Oh, yeah.
But the point being is you do definitely need both sides of the coin. And it does seem like there's a lot of push for the computer to be more in charge of what you're doing than you being in charge of what it's doing. And I can see where this is not liked by a lot of enthusiasts and people and that kind of thing, because it would limit what your capabilities are, you know, and it's also creating a lot of e-waste with all this old equipment now that would be capable of running the new operating system, but doesn't pass the test for whatever reason and is having to be upgraded. This is User-Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User-Friendly 2.0. We're here, Jeremy, Gretchen, and Bill with me, talking tech. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about gaming computers. We have talked about Windows 11. That always has to come up with tech. But one of the other things that we've had a lot of questions, and we did a segment a while back on 3D printers and got a lot of commentary on it. One of them was this idea that I think we gave the impression that we don't like 3D printers, and that was not the intention.
No, not the intention at all.
I absolutely love my 3D printer.
Yeah.
I'm printing on it right now.
Yeah. You know, and it's great tech. I mean, you know, we're talking about some of the issues we've had and different things dealing with proprietary versus non-proprietary and some of the challenges in getting it set up. Let's leave it at that. Mm-hmm. I do remember you calling me, Jeremy, when we couldn't get that working, using a few words that we wouldn't be able to air here. But once you got it working, it seemed to be the case. Now, you know, one of the questions that's come in is how big can you print? A gentleman is wanting to do some kind of a cosplay from Halo, and he wants to know if it's possible to print the Halo helmet.
It depends on the size of your printer. And I mean, if you have a small printer, you can break the any piece into smaller segments and then glue them together. But if the bigger the print bed you have, and I've seen one that's actually a treadmill, so that you can print very long items like swords.
Oh, wow.
So, you know.
And I ordered off of Etsy a Sabine jetpack. And that was the guy had a video that showed all of his printers and things working. And I could watch, you know, check up on my jetpack that was being printed. And it wasn't like it was in little pieces. He did it all in one piece.
So I think like anything else, there's differences in capabilities. And that's been the same thing with regular paper printers. I mean, you have your...
Yeah.
Black and white inkjet that's good for certain things, or back in the olden days, what did they call that? Dot matrix.
Oh yeah, those are great.
I remember those trying to do color. That was interesting. But we move ahead now, and you still have color, non-color. So, Bill, what do you think? Is it the same thing with 3D printers?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of capability and a lot of different stuff with them. See, Jeremy had a lot of problems with his printer that I didn't have with mine, and mine was a kit build. I ordered it, put it together. It's based on the very common model. The reality of it is, if I go and buy the extruded pieces and stuff, I could, other than possibly the bed, which I can make differently, and order another one, I can pretty much build my printer to whatever size I want. It's just, at the end of the day, it's a CNC machine.
Right, right.
You're just dealing. Yeah. It's the same as like a plotter or a the sign cutter ones that do with vinyl. Mm-hmm. The only difference is, of course, you have the up and down more.
Yeah.
So, you know, and a lot of it just comes down to like mine required a lot of fine tuning and building parts to make it better, like adding a cooling fan that went directly on the head so that as it printed, it was cooling the print. Learning to use like a cheap glue stick and smearing the print bed so that it would adhere to it using tape, blue painter's tape. Definitely making sure your slices are coming out right.
Yeah.
And fine tuning it. Because that was like the biggest one was cooling for mine. And then, of course, it really like a lot of people, you know, see this kind of printer, that kind of printer. There are a lot of different kinds of printers, and even the resin ones are becoming more available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think anybody's going to go out and spend, you know, $500,000 on a metal one, though those things are amazing to watch.
They do exist. Yes, I was going to say, with work, one of the clients I work for, they do manufacturing, and there's two items in the lab now, a CNC machine and a 3D printer. And theirs does do metal. It's also really big. It looks almost like a pod, kind of. You know, I think you know,
they're like the size of an SUV.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking about a big industrial piece of equipment. But you know, like the home build ones, like people have built businesses out of them. I've gotten bases for like fursuit heads. I bought one. It's all printed in one piece. Their machines can do it. A couple of big things that most people see in 3D printing, but they never really get into, or they get into trouble with, is printing an ABS and printing the silicone kind of stuff.
The squishy stuff? And,
yeah, the stretchy, yeah. The Ninja Flex.
Really hard for me to get to work, too. So
have you ever got, you actually have some?
I have some. I haven't gotten it to work yet.
Oh.
You have to have... you and I have what's called a Bowden system, where the filament goes through the a motor that pulls and pushes it, then it shoves it down a tube to the tip where it melts. That causes problems with that because it's stretchy, so it's like trying to shove an elastic band through pants.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
That's basically what's going on.
Yeah.
So you have to have your extruder like right there is one piece, so that it's literally just pushing like an inch or like maybe into the nozzle to really make that stuff work. And then the other is with the ABS and a couple of other filaments, you run into this problem where it's very toxic. You have to have it vented. You have to have it inside of a box that maintains the temperature like a greenhouse, because if the print bed is too cold, it'll warp instantly.
Yep.
Wow.
And if it doesn't stay warm through the whole thing, it'll start to detach or warp and do all those problems. Plus, it's just noxious. I mean, it is. You have to vent.
So why do people use ABS?
Because it's stronger. Because
ABS is strong. You know, the black plastic pipes that are like super tough, you know, sewer pipes. That's ABS versus PVC, which is closer to PLA.
Okay.
Which is what most people should run, because you don't have to heat the bed. You can keep it very cold. In comparison, I mean, the tip's still like 200 Celsius, which is still, you know, burn the skin right off. But it's a considerable difference. And especially when you get into doing things like nylon, I was looking into that because you can make gears and stuff for drones, RC cars and stuff. Nylon shrinks by a certain percentage, so you have to be careful of that.
So, well, listen, guys, we're just about out of time here, but it sounds interesting. So, send us your 3D printer stories. I mean, you know, the feedback I've gotten has been pretty positive on it, but a lot of different things. This is User Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0, one user friendly on Facebook and Twitter, userfriendlyshow.com. We have been talking tech this whole show, number of different topics, and one question I want to quickly throw out here in our close. If someone wants a 3D printer, how much do they cost?
Looking it up right now, you can get a kit build, Voxel Lab Aquila X2 FDM printer bundle for about $200.
Okay, so that isn't that bad at all. Jeremy, and you spent about that, I think, too?
Yeah, I my printer is an Ender 3, and it runs around $300. And I think you bought it for me on sale for Christmas.
Right.
You didn't buy it for me for Christmas, but you got it cheaper at Christmas for me. It depends on the size of the things you want to print, because you have to get bigger beds and taller towers. Or you can buy the machines that are all in one in a box that prints with all other different kinds of material. So, I mean, you can spend a lot. I was looking it up. Here's one for $10,000.
I mean, I'm sure that would depend on, you know, but hopefully that one is the leather seats.
I would hope. But, you know, it's all about what you want to accomplish with your printer. If you want to get really fine resolution, you're going to spend a little bit more.
Right. Okay. Well, hey, you know, I think that makes total sense. All right, so we've got a number of upcoming events. Cruise in Sherwood is coming up on June 18th. If you're in Oregon and like classic cars, this is the show for you. It's returning after 2 years. I'm part of the production team. and we are having a lot of fun with that one. Free for the family, vendors, cars, all of that. Come on out and take a look. Coming up next month is Comic-Con International. Now, we're not going down to that in person, but we will have someone there covering it. That's going July 21st through 24th. And then in August, that's when our big month comes back. Black Hat is coming August 6th to 11th in Las Vegas. Emerald City Comic-Con is returning to their normal time in the year, August 18th through the 21st. And the Silicon Valley, or Silicon in San Jose, August 27th to 28th. And that one I am looking forward to seeing again. We haven't been there since they switched. And it seems like it's going to be very interesting to see how that one may have changed.
Mm. Yeah.
But one of the things I noticed that they're doing is these maker events where you can do stuff throughout the year with Adam Savage, which is kind of cool. He's producing the show now.
I've been having fun with those.
Oh, yeah. You just get on and you do them, and it looks like it's a lot of fun. And then you bring it to the event, and you get judged on different things, I think. At least I think they did that last year.
Yes, they did.
So that'll be a lot of fun. And then in September, we have Rose City. So I guess the cosplays are coming back out, and as long as we're allowed to do it, we will. If they bring back the mask requirements, which could happen, then that might change things. We'll have to just play that by ear and keep it safe. But we all got all of that coming up. All right, again, one user-friendly on Facebook. Send in your questions and your comments. 503-766-6264 is the phone number. Any of those ways get to us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or userfriendlyshow.com, which is also where you can find our flash briefing and past episodes. Until next week, this is User Friendly 2.0, keeping you safe on the cutting edge.
User Friendly 2.0, copyright 2014 to 2022. User Friendly Media Group, Inc. All rights reserved. The views and opinions on this show are those of the host and not necessarily those of the User Friendly Media Group, Inc. or this station. Music licensed by BMI. Hosting provided by WeirdTechnology.com. Podcast available at userfriendlynation.com, theanswerportland.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.